Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. It is Tuesday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you today. So, you guys do anything last night? Watch Monday Night Football?
Yeah, just hung out at the house. Watched a little Monday Night Football. Kind of, I was out of town all weekend, so got to just hang out, get some things back normal, get back in the normal weekday stretch, and put the kids down. My wife set me up for failure with my son last night. She said, "Mommy's coming to your room when she's done with Sissy," and my son acted a fool. I didn't realize that was going on. My son was like, "You ain't my best friend, Daddy. I don't like your shirt." And I was like, what's going on with you? And then my wife walked in. She was like, "I promised I'd put him to sleep too." I was like, "Well, no wonder he's going ham on me." So, yeah, she set me up for failure. But, yeah, just normal night. Normal Monday.
Shouldn't have wore that shirt.
He was like, he said something like, "Your shirt is not good," or something like that.
And I was what kind of shirt were you wearing?
Just a normal.
Was it Martin Truex shirt?
No, it was my Adidas pullover. I was wearing my Adidas pullover.
He just didn't like it?
He didn't like it, man. Wasn't a fan. So
kids are ruthless.
Dude, you have no idea. He pulls no punches. "I'm not your best friend. I don't like you. Mommy's my favorite.
I'm not your best friend.
Yeah, don't talk to me anymore. And I don't like your shirt." And I was like, man,
see,
what's going on here?
This is where I worry about being a future parent, is if my child told me that, I would be like, all right. And so when they came to ask me for something, I would just not talk to them. Be like, "Well, I'm not your best friend. You're not talking to me."
It definitely depends on how tired I am. Because sometimes I'm like, "Well, that's fine. I can just leave." And then you just leave, and then he starts screaming. You're like, "Well, you told me you didn't like me. So I'm out of here.
I didn't think you were talking to me."
Better watch your mouth.
I'm worried that I saw. Normally Mondays I watch the episode of The Penguin, because I've been watching The Penguin on HBO Max. And I think it comes out on Sunday nights. I don't know. I don't really watch much TV on Sundays unless it's Sunday Night Football once I get home. But especially, you know, like on Sunday, because I was traveling all day. But so the Yellowstone came out Sunday night, and so instead of being able to watch the season finale of Penguin, me and Amy had to watch the first episode of the new Yellowstone, and like I was. There's all this stuff about Kevin Costner. I know me and Steak were talking about it the other day. I can't remember if it was in the handoff or off the air. We were talking about what happens when Yellowstone comes back, because Kevin Costner's future with the show has been, kind of up in question. And I'm not going to spoiler alert, because I'm sure some people haven't got a chance to watch it and are probably waiting to watch for a couple of days or whatever. But they pretty much answer it literally in the first scene. They're like, "Hey, we're just going to get this out in the open, and this is the future of the show, with or without Kevin Costner." Yeah. And I just looked at Amy, and as they play, because, you know, a lot of these shows, they play the opening scene, and sometimes it takes like 2 or 3 minutes, and then they play the open, and I go, "Well, they didn't waste any time with that, did they?" I mean, they pretty much did that right off the bat.
And they pulled the tag off that one.
Yeah. it was, I mean, it just, there was no, "Hey, we're going to." Because, you know, even shows, when they open up their season open, they'll kind of slow roll you a little bit. And what this, you know, they just
kind of like doing it in reverse, though.
It was like 2 feet in. I mean, you're in the deep end. Like, it was like, "Hey, I didn't learn how to swim. I jumped right in the deep end and then figured out how to flap my arms enough to stay afloat."
I got
to
give Day-Day credit. He and I were talking about a show that my wife and I have been watching called The Outsider with Jason Bateman. And he told me this, like, after I was in episode 2. He's like, "Yeah, it just got a little bit weird for me." I'm on episode 9 last night. My wife's like, "Hey, stay awake so we can finish. There's 10 episodes in the season." I was like, "Yeah, you go ahead." I was like, "I'm good at 9. I was like, "Dude," and Day-Day said that like a month ago. And I was like, last night, I was like, "I'm good at 9, man. Go ahead." I was like, "You can watch it. I'm going to sleep."
So
it's ridiculous.
So it's not like Ozarks at all?
No, God. It's like a True Detective meets Stranger Things.
What's it called again?
The Outsider.
So it's an alien mystery.
It's a
show with maybe the supernatural involved.
So, yeah,
because that is.
That's essentially exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
True Detective. You know, they have some spiritual alien type stuff going on. I feel like
it's
in some
not
of them
alien. I think it's more demonic. But yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, like that one in the Alaska. That night.
True Detective.
Yeah, what was it, like Night something? I thought it had the word night in it, but it was phenomenal with Jodie Foster.
Phenomenal.
And I cannot remember the other lady's name. Did you watch Ozark?
Yeah, I did watch Ozark.
Did you watch it all the way through?
All the way. Well, not like when it first.
No, you know, I mean,
I caught on late. But yes, I finished it.
I haven't finished. I think
really?
I only watched three.
You ain't finished Ozark yet?
No, is there four or five? Is there four or five? Four seasons? I think I watched three.
I'm literally about to rewatch it.
Yeah,
I think it's four.
Well,
I think I watched three.
Did the first episode of Ozark not hit about as hard as a show can hit, like to kind of lock you in?
Yeah.
Like the first, 30 minutes before he leaves, what is it, Chicago?
Yes.
Where, you know.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Like,
yeah.
That locked me in, and, like, I was so excited. I know we got to get into Monday Night Football, but I was so excited. I was like, hey, you know, because we try to watch shows together, but we can't watch all the shows together because we like so different stuff. But some of the same things we love, but some of the other things we're far apart on.
Sure.
And I was like, look, we got to watch it. And we're in, like, the scene that hooked me, and she's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just whatever. And I'm like,
is your mind not blown?
Yeah.
No, it's actually
same
not.
Same thing
it's
with actually, Game of Thrones. Yeah. She's like, this is kind of boring.
Yeah.
Oh, why are they all dressed up like this? I'm like, because it's like, you know, medieval times.
Yeah,
she's
it's called building the storyline.
She's like, yeah, I did not finish. I tapped out on Game of Thrones, but maybe one day. Ozark, yes, it's phenomenal.
Well, if you're going to have one day, you better have like lots
and
lots of time.
Well, I mean, one day, not as in watch it in a day, maybe one day I will start the series.
No, I mean, you need like 2 weeks of just like you're doing nothing and you're like, hey, because that's the only way to finish Game of Thrones. I did it during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll pick up with it, maybe. We'll see. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, Monday Night Football, we saw the Dolphins snap a 3-game losing streak with a 23-15 win over the Rams. And Tyreek Hill, who had told Lisa Salters, the sideline reporter, that he was dealing with like a wrist issue and that it's been like that all season, got reaggravated in his incident with police. How long ago was that? A few months ago, it feels like almost.
I feel like that was week two, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was early. In the season, yeah.
So, but still, they were able to go into this and win this game and get off the snide there.
Yeah, it might have been week three. He scored a touchdown, so he did enough. It was really kind of a weird game. It was a kind of a defensive struggle.
Sloppy.
Which you really wouldn't think, oh, I'm going to watch the Dolphins and Rams tonight on Monday Night Football, and you think that one team would not score a touchdown and only lose by eight. And so it was that from that aspect, I thought it was kind of odd. They got after Stafford a little bit. I mean, Puka still stepped up for the Squid Swimmers fantasy team. Got me 98 yards, but just kind of a weird game. And Calais Campbell said after the game, like, you know, I think defensively when we play our best game, we can beat anybody. And Mike, I know you and I were talking. You thought Tua kind of played sloppy too.
I think both sides played sloppy last night. I mean, if I'd have told you Stafford was going to throw for almost 300, no touchdowns, and they would score 15 points, it just like multiple things seemed like were kind of off kilter for them. So I don't think LA scored a touchdown last night. Now that I'm thinking back on the game, and
they didn't.
It just Miami looked like that in the same way, and it was kind of a sloppy game. Now I will say it was nice to see some field goals be drained by some NFL kickers, and that's all I'll say on that. But nonetheless, I thought Stafford and the Rams did some good things, and I thought, you know, Puka and Cooper Kupp are obviously you know what they're supposed to be. I thought Tua was a little bit reckless with the ball. Throws a couple of bad picks. I think one got pulled back after review, and there was another couple of fumbles on his part that were a little bit sloppy. And so, but Miami gets a much needed win. They're able to pull back to 3-6 and kind of keep their postseason hopes alive. But man, they're alive by a slim margin. He's gonna have to play better. That whole team's gonna have to play better if they're gonna end up doing anything as far as the season goes. It's been a crazy year for them.
Look, I won't tolerate any entire. Defense did not play well. I'm going to basically wash away everything with that because Calais Campbell at 38 years old, still making key plays. He was all over the post game interviews and at the podium for the Dolphins last night. I'm not sure how he's still able to sustain at this level. We talked about some of the vet days that he gets, but I mean, guys, just incredible.
I talked with someone in the Falcons last year. And they told me that his routine to get ready for a game, just the entire week, is it's ridiculous. everything he has to do to continue to play this high level and still, because I knew a lot of people would be like, I ain't got time for this anymore. Like, I can't do it. And he does, and he is the most professional human being you'll ever be around. And
he has a passion for it. That's what he said. That's basically all that matters, right?
It is.
But you can't in football.
He had a tipped ball that ended in an interception, and I thought to myself, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know how you throw. What is his wingspan? Probably 6'10". How do you throw around that?
Oh, it's got to be bigger than that.
It feels impossible, dude.
All right, and he had a sack, too. When we come back here on the morning shift, is the Falcons loss to the Saints just the Falcons having a bad game, or is it indicative of something else? Let's discuss on the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back here on the morning shift, and I just realized a little bit ago that today is, in fact, Tuesday, not Wednesday. I was pretty surprised.
Sheesh.
I know.
What's going on there?
Hit me pretty hard.
Usually we give you the benefit of the doubt. He's been traveling all weekend, but it's not even the case this time. What's the deal?
So did us saying it, Taco Tuesday, give it away?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But that was 25 minutes ago.
I know, but it sank in. And I had convinced myself when I walked in that today was Wednesday.
I'm starting to be concerned.
Fully convinced. Fully convinced.
Yikes, man. Let's
go. Pretty sad. Yeah. Need to get it together. Hopefully the Falcons can get it together this weekend as they try to bounce back from their loss to the Saints. And so Dylan's wonderful question here on the show sheet is that if the Falcons, if their loss to the Saints is just a result of having another bad game, or should we be more concerned about what transpired on Sunday?
Well, I don't really think it was a bad game necessarily. I thought you played a great second half as for the most part. You didn't convert as many touchdowns as you wanted. Your defense forced 5-3 and outs in the second half. You started slow, but I think in the NFL, college, sometimes I feel like the lines get blurred between what college football is and how we watch college football and how differently the NFL is and how we don't watch the two differently. You know, you can lose a game in the NFL and play a good game and not play bad. You can have a great game by both teams, and one team's got to win. The reality of the situation is you had one facet of the game that was subpar. I thought the offense was a pretty average day. I mean, they had, over somewhere around 400 yards of total offense and an NFL, on a road game in the NFL. It's pretty freaking good. You only had one turnover, which ended up being extremely crucial, but you left 9 points on the field. And when you leave points on the field in an NFL game, you're going to lose. Yep. And you had, in an NFL, in most games, especially road games, rivalry games on the road, you have to have all three. It has to be complementary football in all three phases of it. And one phase was completely subpar.
Yeah.
So I don't think that means you're one or the other, right? I mean, I don't think that means it was more of who they are or that they had a bad day. I just think that that's how it rolls sometimes.
Well, and I think that when you look at the Falcons against the Saints, I think you kind of break it down into units, right? What was the run game? What was the pass game? What was the pass rush? What was the, you know, how the secondary play, the linebacker? Like, you kind of break it down into position groups almost. And you need one of those units to play winning football. It's not all of them. You need one of those units to play winning football and the rest of those units to kind of hold serve. I don't think any of those groups really played winning football, and I don't think the kicking game held serve. If that's what, you know, I think when you look at the passing game, held serve. You know, you could argue that maybe the turnovers might have lost it. You know, the running game was good, just probably not – just, you know, winning the game good. The secondary is okay. The defense as a whole, decent, you know, especially when you look at the second half. But you keep going back to the pass rush, and I keep going back to the 3rd-and-20 situation where Derek Carr rips off 13 yards rushing. Couldn't even get close to him. And coming up and mic'd up a little bit later, I want to talk about the fact that we saw two edge rushers last night that are rookies that the Falcons passed on. and what they've been able to do this year. So I think that's something to keep looking at. Yeah. But you have to win. You have to go win from some of these position groups. And that for the most part, none of these position groups went and won the game.
I'm going to push back a little bit on you didn't play winning football as far as the run game. You ran for 180 yards, and you possessed the ball for 35 minutes. Now, getting in the end zone is something that is crucial. I tell you what is something that the Falcons need to understand, that's who they are, is these massive penalties in the worst times possible. I mean, you know, you're trying to drive the field and give yourself another chance to kick another field goal or to tie it or maybe score.
Yeah.
And Jake Matthews can't get beat, but that's the worst time in the game to get beat. Whether it was a bad call or not, you can't get that clipping penalty down there or illegal block or whatever you want to call it.
He's had some bad timing on his penalties this year.
And it's those are the – now, if you want to say that is who they are, I totally agree. But I think you did enough in the second half on both sides of the football to win the game. But, again, you couldn't convert you kicked two field goals in the second half, which you missed. You win the game.
So there's still a lot that you could take from it. Coach Raheem Morris was asked if there's an overarching lesson to the loss.
You better learn from every single game, right? And for us, it's like you don't have to press in order to win games. You just need to do what you're supposed to do. And, like, for us, that's, like, one of the main things. It's, like, coming out early. I don't know what that anxiety is on defense, not us to get us to play like we did from the second quarter on. What is that? You know, what is it on offense when we don't execute those few plays that stall drives? Well, what is that? What is it when we don't get the snap, the kick, the hold, the operation, everything the way you want to have it? So, like, let's go find those things out and let's go apply it to the next game. And you got to apply that mindset to everything you want to do and how you want to go about your business. And I love it. The atmosphere yesterday was something that you can learn from. The energy in that building, like I talked about, the increased urgency that was going to come from that football team is something you can learn from, because you can't tell me you didn't feel the increased urgency from the snap one with those guys and everything they were doing and how emotionally it was. I mean, I seen Joe Woods across on the big time field goal miss, just pumping it up and going in hard. But that's stuff you got to learn from when you're a football team that wants to win and wants to win big.
Yeah, and I want to point back to the King game, too, make sure I'm not blaming this loss on the field goal unit at all. Not blaming this off, because here's what happens
in
these games. Well, here's what happens in these games. Too many times does Young Wei Koo go and win it, and then we'll point to every other single reason why they won the football game. Well, your offense had to play good enough to get a move. What a clutch throw by Kirk Cousins. What great clock management. All this other stuff. And then Young Wei hits a 53-yarder to win it. It's almost like it's an afterthought, like it's just supposed to happen.
Nobody.
And then when he doesn't,
such a great point when it comes to special teams.
And then when he doesn't, it's like, oh my gosh! But it can't be. You can't have it both ways.
Well,
it's not like he's just not going to go 100% all the time in those situations.
Well, unfortunately. Well, yeah, he's not going to go 100%. You can't go 8 for your last 14.
It's acceptable.
But
I'm just trying to
The reality is, you only get so many opportunities. And it's just there's so many players on that field, and not just a kicker, that only get so many opportunities to go make a play, and that's what separates greats from not, is making those plays. But what I think the biggest issue I have with the question, and I know it's a question that a lot of people are asking, so it's not necessarily a bad question that Dylan decided us to talk about it. But the reality is this is not the same game as the Seattle game. Okay. And when I hear people talking about, say, just like Seattle, no, it's completely different. And no point in the Seattle game did you ever really step up and try to take control. You took control of this game in the second half. You just didn't convert the opportunities in the red area or the kicking game to win the game. And that is another thing. But that's also where when you start slow and you put yourself behind the eight ball, now you can't miss on opportunities.
Yeah.
And they did. But the reality is, I love Young Wei Koo. And I remember when you go down the field against Philly and you score the touchdown and Drake gets the unsportsmanlike penalty. And now the extra point, which is supposed to be like 30 yards or something now, becomes like a 50-yard extra point. And he nails it. And that's clutch. That's where Young Wei has won games for you, because once again you've put yourself in bad spots.
Yeah.
But he can't go 8-14.
No, I'm with you. I think everybody kind of sits in the same boat. It's He's missed a couple field goals this year in crunch time that you feel like could have put you in a better situation, and you kind of move on from that and say it's got to get better, and hopefully eventually it will, and if it doesn't, you kind of make changes. But I don't think it's completely on him. Look at just from New Orleans' perspective, what do you think won them the game, right? What won the game for New Orleans? To me, it was their pass rush, and that caused turnovers from Kirk Cousins. Now, Kirk Cousins got to put two hands on the ball and make sure that every time you get hit, you don't fumble. Right, but you look at New Orleans' pass rush and their ability to get after him. They have three sacks, but they pressured him a number of times. I know Falcons fans are out there saying, you know, the guy's a statue in the pocket and can't move, but we're not even getting close enough to affect a guy like Derek Carr. And he's not exactly, Walter Payton with a good arm back there. He's affected in the same ways that Kirk Cousins is. And to me, we're not playing winning football as a defensive line. And that's got to come around at some point, or it's going to continue to show back up. So the answer to the question is, it's just a loss or a sign of things to come? Could be both. Could be both if you don't start getting a pass rush at some point.
Just stupid. I'm not talking about anybody in this room. I'm talking about Kirby Smart's words. Were they too harsh for one of the players on his team, stemming from a post-game celebration? We'll discuss next here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're giving you the latest headlines from college football, and this headline was a big one following Georgia's loss to Ole Miss. Coach Kirby Smart at his press conference did not mince words when he called backup safety Jake Pope's actions just stupid after Pope was seen celebrating. Now, there is more to that story. We did hear from Pope later on as he tweeted out a statement, but let's take a listen to Kirby Smart's strong words for his players' actions.
What an idiot. Just stupid. I didn't see it till today, but he's embarrassed about it. He's upset about it. That's obviously a childhood friend of his. Knows him, hadn't seen him in forever, but just not real smart.
So Pope took to Twitter, and he had this to say. He said, "This is not representative of who I am in any way. In no way, shape, or form would I ever celebrate a loss in this program with, and anyone who knows me well enough knows that." He said, "My longtime family friends, as you heard Coach Kirby Smart mention, had come up to me unexpectedly after the game." So he was trying to get off the field is what he said. He was extremely excited to see, I guess, some faces that he probably hadn't seen in a little while. So he said, "I was surprised to see them, and that's why you saw the reaction I gave in the video." So he did go on to apologize in a lengthy statement, but that is the backstory behind the video that shows him jumping up and down.
Tiff. So before I saw the video, I heard Kirby's comments, or read Kirby's comments, and I saw the apology. And I was like, how bad could this video be? Like, is he really celebrating or are they hugging? He was
jumping
celebrating.
Jumping up and down.
He seemed excited. So We first of all, the biggest fan of this entire issue is Carson Beck, because the whole thing about him smiling seems to have taken a back seat to everything going on with this. With
lucky for him,
everything else going out right. Well, and we kind of talked about that yesterday, and you know, I think we all had kind of different opinions on what it meant for Carson Beck to be smiling. I wasn't a huge fan of it. This is just another step. This is another level, and I get it. I get where he's coming from, but again, and I'll say the same thing about I said about Carson Beck after losses like this when I was in college. At no point did I feel like doing things like this. And I don't know if this is a Georgia thing or if this is just where college football is now with the transfers. I tell you guys all the time, the NFL, like, it was like you were cool after the game because you were going to get losses. You knew the playoffs were there. And you could be playing for a different team the next year. Like, I feel like that's kind of where college football is now.
So I don't necessarily think that that is the situation, you know, with this, that there is some sort of like, I think what you're talking about is kind of like a disconnect between like being all in with the team because you can bounce and go wherever, and that's kind of the state of what college football is, and you're getting paid and all this stuff.
That's fair.
I don't think that's the case with this. I'm trying to think of times where I've been genuinely surprised to see someone show up. So I think the initial reaction would be probably what we saw from Jake Pope. You'd be like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're here." And I don't know if that, and who knows, I don't know how long it had been since he's seen these people. And probably that overwhelming feeling of excitement after something horrible just happened. You know, you were a top team. You had a third spot in the playoff ranking. You get knocked off, you know, in a dominating fashion by Ole Miss. So maybe it was just that, what's the word, like a juxtaposition or something like that where
big one. There you
are
big.
Down and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, you see these people and you're like, yes, this is great. Oh, my gosh.
What, you didn't jump up and down like that? I mean, he was celebrating like he'd won the freaking lottery.
You know what's the first thing?
I don't know when common sense comes in to kind of take over. That's right. The whole optics
it never
thing
took
that I was
over
talking
here.
About.
The optics.
With it's a kid. He's a kid.
He
that's
is,
what, you know?
But again, the rest of them are kids too, and that's my biggest issue is I don't look at it from a fan perspective, although I will in just a second. I look at it from a teammate perspective, and if I was his teammate, I wouldn't be happy with it. Just point blank, I would not be happy with
Can
him
I
as
ask
a teammate.
A real question? How long are we going to be able to – when as these guys start getting paid, and we don't know who's getting paid and who's not, but I imagine right. There is some money going in Jake Polk's pocket in some way. How long are we going to be able to use – well, they're a kid. Like, that's why fans...
You're still a kid. Mentally, you're still a kid. You can't just say because you're making money, you're not a child anymore.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
You know, it doesn't because you're being paid as a professional. That's why Carson Beck doesn't get the benefit of the doubt when he's smiling and laughing on the bench is because the guy's driving a Lamborghini, making millions of dollars as the quarterback of Georgia, and now they're going to be open for criticism. That is
okay, well, it's salty
the
adults that are mad they're not making millions of dollars.
They're not
game,
salty.
So
they're fans.
I'm saying, no, it's
that's
being
just like
salty.
The fans of NFL
he's a
teams.
Kid. I don't care how much money you make. That doesn't change
well,
your brain and
what?
Mental
we,
makeup.
We send 18-year-olds to war
your,
every day.
And they
those
are kids.
Doesn't lose.
Those
you have to grow
kids.
Up quickly.
Those
that's the
no,
benefit
you don't.
Of it.
You are a child.
If you're getting
you
paid to do a job, you're not
mentally.
Getting paid to celebrate with other kids
okay,
that
okay,
just
cool.
beat
so
you.
Okay, so you're making millions of dollars, and all of a sudden your brain just automatically develops.
It means
okay,
you're
cool.
open to criticism that's
cool.
because that's the reality okay. of the world we
cool.
live in.
I'm glad you know the science of
that,
the brain.
Well, let
great.
Me tell you something.
Fantastic.
That is the reality of the world we live in. When you get paid millions of dollars, expectations come with that.
That does not that, make it right.
It doesn't matter if it makes it right. That's the real world. And
yelling
that's why,
doesn't make your point
that's
any
why
more
he's open
made.
To criticism. That's so. Why he's open to criticism. That's why Kirby Smart, who also makes millions of dollars to manage these guys,
Kirby Smart is
says,
an adult.
Says it was dumb, and it was dumb, and
Kirby
he's got to learn
is
from
an
it.
Adult.
That's yeah. the reality.
Well, you know what's funny is Bo and I had a conversation with this, I don't know why my mind snapped to this. Bo and I had a conversation with Kirk Cousins about the day he met his wife. Right, when we were talking to training camp, and what did he say? I'm like, hey, did you meet your father-in-law? And he said, my father-in-law was so mad at the loss of the Georgia-Michigan State game that he wouldn't even come talk to me. That he stood over by the team bus. Did he not say this, Bo? Stood over by the team bus and waved and was like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, that's indicative, I feel like, of probably what most fans felt after this game. And to see the smile from Carson Beck and to see the celebration from Jake Pope, I just – you mentioned optics, and I think that's a big deal in this.
Yeah.
And I think the optics are that when you're, you know, when you're insta-famous and you're making millions, I don't think we can just blow past that because we don't think his brain's developed, personally. I don't.
You can have that opinion, but what I'm saying is at the end of the day, you tell me when your kid is 18 and does something stupid that he's not still a kid.
I was an idiot until I was 30.
Okay, well, then what? Then you're negating your whole point.
But I didn't do – Tiff, the point
I'm
is that
I'm not saying if people want to criticize, I'm saying I'm speaking for myself. I don't go speaking for the masses.
Right.
So I think it is stupid to go after a kid who ran in and saw some people that he knew. I am not going to say, oh, he's getting some money. He's getting some NIL money. Now he has to automatically just grow up and somehow not be a child anymore.
Well, that's the reality of it, though.
That's your reality.
That's how fans look at it.
Good for you.
So you have to understand how fans look at it.
No, I
know. Yes, you do.
I can understand how I'm looking at it. I get.
If you don't want to see other people's points, that's fine.
I see the point you're making. I disagree with it.
I understand. And that's okay to disagree with it. But that's why it's a big deal. That's why Kirby Smart is getting asked about it.
I understand why it's a big deal.
But
you don't need to explain that to me.
What I'm trying to tell you is
that I disagree with it.
As the college game continues to pay more and more players,
what is going to transpire at the college game. I work in it every weekend. I understand that.
Congratulations. But what you have to get is that these kids, they're no longer getting their kids' excuse because people see them as – when my ticket prices go up, to pay
that.
Them get...
I understand that.
Well,
what I'm saying is that I don't
agree
with it.
Well, You can agree
or
not. It's not going to. It's not going to fly
anymore.
Mentally,
he's not fully developed all the way.
But
then that is true.
That excuse is no longer going to be accepted as by the public because they see all of their stuff go up because they're getting paid. So they want those guys.
I am not saying I don't understand that. I don't need you to hold my hand and walk me through it like a small child.
I'm not holding your hand. I'm telling you the argument that the fan base has. That's
why
people are upset.
And I said I understand, but I disagree with
it.
My if I could talk. My only point is that, Tiff, I think I was an idiot until I was 30. At no point during those losses did I feel like I should celebrate or smile. It just wasn't a thing that happened. And we took our jobs very seriously. And so I think that when you just bring it into this day and age, it's tough for some people to swallow. And I'll be curious, and maybe that's what we get into on the wake-up call today, is how many Georgia fans didn't mind it and how many of them thought it wasn't a big deal. Because I think that there's probably a pretty good split. And I don't think you can blanket statement Carson Beck with Jake Pope. I think it was two completely different ordeals. But I definitely think there was a portion of Georgia fans that looked at how bad that loss felt on the road to Ole Miss, a team that out-physicaled you and had an issue with it. And I don't blame them for that personally.
When we come back, Dylan, is it time to break yet? I hear the music. All right. When we come back here, we'll get you caught up again on the Falcons and the fallout, a little bit of it, from that loss to the Saints. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.